beginning at Jerusalem. And they were witnesses. And all I can do is work from their eyewitness accounts and from their writings. The promise of the Father, you will be endued with power when the Holy Ghost comes on you. And that was probably the biggest turning point in my life was when I received the Holy Spirit. And it came in a powerful way. And it came just like in the book of Acts. It spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. You know, and people are very critical of the way people receive the Holy Spirit with the speaking in tongues. People don't want to believe it. Because, as they say, you can fake it. I can fake it to you, but I can't fake it to myself. And I would say to you, until you have received power, until you can actually say, I received power, you should keep seeking power. You should be seeking to be endued with power. Because so many men give up. They ask once and they think, well, I asked once in faith. You should have given it to me right then and there when I wanted it. Nah, 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 you little brat. Didn't you understand the parable of the unjust judge? Didn't you understand the other parables? Didn't you understand the writings of the apostles? Diligently seek those things. The reason God doesn't give them all the time as quickly as we want it is because He has His own plans. They don't necessarily, maybe you think you're ready for it. Maybe He says, no, you're not. What are you going to do? Go and give up. Then give up. You can be like me. Wait 10 years because you don't pray very much. You know, I asked for the Holy Spirit for years. Yeah, but I mean, I waited years between the asking. 10 years of asking wasn't 10 years every night on my face asking God for the Holy Spirit. No, it was 10 years. Oh, you know, maybe this year. Well, one particular day, my sins overwhelm me, and all of a sudden I'm praying to God. God, I really feel like I need your Holy Spirit. And finally, after 10 years of sparse requests, He finally gave it to me. Be diligent. I'm not saying I could have changed things, or even that I would have changed things. But people are so satisfied with the words of men. The words of men who say, oh, the moment you believe, you did receive the Spirit. And you're like, what? I did? Oh, yeah, you did, totally. Really? I didn't even notice. Yeah, isn't that weird? You know, the Holy Spirit comes and you don't even notice. Yeah, I didn't even feel empowered. Yeah, that's right. I felt a punch in my chest when I got baptized. Oh, maybe that was emotion. No, it was the Holy Spirit. No, you know, they tell you all kinds of things. But the Scriptures have a particular way. They speak with tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And people want to be really sticklers about, like, well, everyone should hear it in their own language. Well, except the speaker, at least. I mean, how would people, if it was always just hearing it in their own language, how would you know you were speaking in tongues? Let's say if there were no people around who spoke other tongues. It happened that there were all those people from different nations. Just because tongues were heard by people of other nations doesn't mean it always has to be heard. He that prayeth in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but church is not edified. Why? Because they don't understand. So there's this sort of contradiction between, well, every man understood it, and then people don't understand it. Because when you speak with other tongues, people don't understand. But God can cause them to understand it, like He did on Pentecost Day. But it wasn't just that I spake with tongues when I received the Holy Spirit. I actually received power. I mean, power that I could feel on my hands, on my feet, on my ears, on my lips. And I pray for anyone. You know, I don't expect anyone to even believe me. I don't care. I really don't care if you believe me or not. It's for your benefit if you would believe me. But I really, for your benefit, I pray that you could experience the same thing. That's my desire. And that you would receive the repentance and remission of sins. Remission. The way we use this word in English today is we talk about cancer going into remission. I like that example because I want to think of my sin in terms of remission. It's gone away. It's not threatening me anymore because it isn't happening to me anymore. The cancer isn't growing. The sins aren't happening. I want my sins to be remitted. I want to have a change of heart about my sins. And I want them remitted. I want God to forgive them. I want me to stop doing them. It's all under the one package. This is the good news. You can have that. That's the promise of God. You can have that. You can perfect holiness in the fear of God. Laying aside all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, we can perfect holiness in the fear of God. So says Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. But it's by the promises of God, not because we are, oh, I'm so thankful, I'm just going to do it myself. It's not going to happen. We got to patiently seek Him. Because it's His power we need. If we don't know we're relying on His power, if we think we're relying on ourselves, we're setting ourselves up for destruction. That's not how God is calling us to salvation. We need to know where our power comes from. We need to know where our salvation comes from. We didn't earn it. It's a gift. And we walk worthy of it by seeking His blessing in it. That He would work His works in us. That we might be pleasing to Him. And we have to be pleasing to Him. But it's His work. Verse 50. And He led them out as far as to Bethany. And He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him. And returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Waiting in Jerusalem for the promise of God. No man hath ascended into heaven except Him. He who came down from heaven, the Son of Man, which is in heaven, and sat down at the right hand of God, worthy of worship, worthy of adoration, worthy of our praise and our prayers, who answers our prayers. To Him we must seek diligently, that we might obtain the promises of the kingdom of God, and all the rest of the things of life will be added to us. That is what we need to do as Christians, to fulfill the gospel, that we may preach it to others. If you have a beam in your eye, how can you preach to others who have motes? Because the preacher must first see clearly. The physician, the slightest speck, is much more damaging to what he's trying to do than to the person who is being operated on. If the patient has a speck in his eye, it's fine as long as the physician sees clearly. But the physician, if he has a speck in his eye, everything is in jeopardy. That's why we must obtain repentance, remission of sins, the promises of God, and your faith, virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, temperance, to temperance, brotherly kindness, and love. Add all these things to your faith, and you will be a servant of Jesus Christ. You will, and not only that, you will grow up into Him, and He will call you friend.